Sometimes our identity can be locked into just who we are. You know, I'm a mother of three, or I'm an engineer, or, you know, I do this for a living, you know. And so there's God's calling us to get hold of his identity for us. And it's not exactly what I'm going to be talking about, but I thought it's an encouragement, actually, for us to grab hold of what the Lord has for us. And for you, some of you that are sitting there, you might think, okay, well, what, you know, how's the Lord going to use me? You know, the Lord's going to use you if you allow yourself to be used by him. Every one of us actually can be used by the Lord. So we're going to be continuing this week. This is the fourth in a series that we've been doing on pleasing God. So this is what we're talking about, pleasing God. And in 2 Corinthians 7, or actually last week, I'll just give you a quick, last year we talked about pleasing God, being obedient to him and following his guidance. Like a father wants to lead his child in ways that are good. I want to teach my daughters and my son-in-laws what's good. You know, and it pleases me. And so that pleases the Lord when we come to him and we are wanting to follow his guidance and his lead. You know, and so that's what we spoke about. But tonight we're going to be talking about particularly living in holiness. And that's quite a heavy statement. I mean, living in holiness, that's and purity. But hopefully I can make it fairly that we can grasp this, because I think it's something so important as believers. There's something about the identity of God that is revealed through us living in holiness and walking in purity. My question is, what's your goal in life? Have you got a goal in life? But I want to go through to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 to 10, and we're going to read over there. And I found it quite interesting, because as I opened I've got an electronic Bible, and I've got Logos on my computer, and it gives me certain facts or whatever on each verse, like just interest. I mean, basic facts, like, you know, the how many times this has been highlighted of those that do this. And I thought it just interesting, just as we go for this, and let's read it over here. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Okay, so we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, in other words, whether we are here alive or we're dead, and we're with the Lord, our goal is to please him. And then it says, for we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or the evil we have done in this earthly body. And so I just, you know, the one for we live by believing and not by seeing, that's highlighted like, you know, over 1,500 times in that version and that thing. And then the one where it says and I found it interesting, because a lot of people would, you know, go for this. We grabbing hold of, we need to believe. We're not seeing. It's a very much a faith statement, which it is. We live by faith. But in verse 9 it says, for whether we are here in this body, we are living, or we away. In other words, we've gone to be with the Lord. Our goal is to please him. And that was only, you know, highlighted 1,000 times. So there's our goal is actually to please him. And that's why I ask you, what is your goal in life? Because whatever you focus for, that's what you're gonna hit. This week we're talking about being holy. And so it's God's will for you to be holy. And so, you know, whenever we hear that, we think, shush, okay, to be holy is like, we sort of have this stereotype of what is it to be this holy person. Maybe it's that guy that's quiet, you know, very introverted, he's shy, he's probably unadventurous, or he's the do-gooder, you know. And we sort of have like, what is this picture of holiness? And when God calls us to be holy, you think, shush, okay, that's out of my reach. I can't reach that, or I can't be that. Because, you know, and maybe we like think of it as like maybe it's like a nun or that priest, you know. There's this, you think, you know, maybe it's a church leader, you know, I can never be like that. Or maybe it's even an elder, you know, you can't be like that. But they could be examples of holiness, and they could also not be examples of holiness. Yet the Lord calls every one of us to be holy as He is holy. So say with me, the Lord's called me to be holy. He's called you to be holy. It's part of your identity, actually. He's called you to be holy. And so what are the scriptures that are in a quote over there? Because 1 Peter 1 verse 15 to 16 says, "But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scripture says, you must be holy because I am holy." And so we have that, the picture of actually we need to be holy because Jesus is holy. Because God's holy, we need to follow that example. And so that's part of our goal as believers. While we're still in this body, while we're still kicking and alive, some of us are closer to the end than others. I'm not looking around. I'm trying to like avoid looking at guys. But we all are, you know. Some of us have been closer to that and had very close shaves with that. But our goal needs to be that of pleasing the Lord. And this is an area that pleases the Lord, is being holy. And so in Hebrews 12 verse 14, it says, "Work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord." Sheesh, that's a big deal. So if I'm not holy, and if I am not working at living a holy life, I will not see the Lord. That's what the scripture says. That's sobering. That brings me to think, where is my goal really in life? But aren't we holy? You know, Jesus done it. He's paid the price. We are, and yes, we are. And I want to take us to the scripture, Hebrews 10. And in Hebrews 10, verse 14, it says, 10, verse 10. It says over here, "For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest," talking about Jesus, "offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time." Okay? "Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand, where he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet." So Jesus has won the victory in this area. He's done it for us. But then verse 14, it says, "But for by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. It says, He forever made perfect. Jesus has forever made us perfect in Him. That's how He sees us. But it is not complete. It's that for those who are being made holy. You know, William Wilberforce, and I wanted to quote him. For those who don't know who he abolished the slavery in Britain. I think it was 1700s. And he said, there is no shortcuts to holiness. It must be the business of our whole lives. So I'm just doing one preach on this. But you could actually take this for the rest of your life and live the way that God has called you to live. So what is holy? So what is it to be holy? And to be holy means set apart for God. So you set apart for God. You characterized by moral purity and obedience. So in other words, this is who you are. When your character, you moralized about actually you there's purity and there's obedience to God. And then there's the next one is to reflect God's character through your thoughts, your words, and your actions. And so you're actually representing Christ. In other words, how I respond reflects Christ. How I live my life reflects Him to others. And that's actually being holy. And it is the transformation of the inner self. So there's a transformation in each one of us as we and the Bible talks about that as sanctification, and we've spoken a bit about that. But it's the transformation of the inner self by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes and does His work, which leads to an outward life. In other words, what we live, how we live, that turns its back on what the world's sinful patterns. So there's a turning our backs, actually, on those sinful patterns. And it shows God's nature. And so when we are walking holy, and we're allowing the Lord to change us and sanctify us, there's something of representing Him, showing Him. I was in Natal Technicon, and I stayed in res. And I remember the first 2 days we arrived there as new students. And next door to me, I had a guy, and I can still remember his name is Kevin. And he stayed next to me, and you have this sort of like dorm. It's basically rooms, and you share a bathroom. And he said to me, like when we got there, he said, "Hey, listen, the guys are getting together. They're having a party on the campus. You know, let's go." And I, you know, just known him 2 days or whatever. And so I thought, okay, well, be good to meet people. And so understand, I'm a student. I think I was 20 at that stage. And we go out. Is Rob here? Yeah? Not, okay. No, Rob was at tech, apparently at the same time as me, and he spoke about these parties that happened on campus. So I thought I wasn't going to throw him under the bus, but I was. But anyway, so we go out and you know, we go, there's music and all that happens at a tech, and we come back, and you know, there were two girls that we met, and we came back and we thought, okay, we'll go and chat. But as soon as I get there, Kevin disappears with this other girl into his room, and I'm like, whoa, I didn't sign up for this. So I go. We sit in the room and we chat, and I said, you know what? I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I don't want to do anything that would hurt Him, but I'm keen to just chat. And so we did. But it was an opportunity for Satan to come and derail my walk with the Lord. And, you know, there's this love for the Lord that's got to be in us that causes us to choose him above our own desires. Yeah, it so happens that she was also a believer, you know, and she married to a good friend of, well, a friend of Kegwin's, you know, and so I think, you know, we hold this, how we walk this out, how we walk holiness out in our everyday life affects those around us in a very powerful way. And if we're not listening to the Lord and we're not allowing him to actually lead us, we can so easily discredit what the Lord has done in our lives. I'd like to read this in, and you know, this in, when you look at Thessalonians, and Thessalonians is a fantastic book for me. 1 Thessalonians just gives you this beautiful picture of these people that lived in that time in Thessalonica. They were Greeks, but they lived a life. One of the philosophers said, you know, ladies that you befriend, countesses, or we've got countesses for pleasure, we've got concubines for fulfilling the body, and then we've got wives for ensuring that we've got children and that they manage the household. And that was the thinking, you know. That's how they thought back then. And so you've got these guys that are living this out, where that's their lifestyle, coming to know the Lord, and their lives are changed radically. You see the Thessalonians coming as Paul is with them, and he teaches them the ways of God. There's a turning away from that lifestyle and turning towards the Lord, and they put those ways behind them. And so, you know, so this is what's happening in Thessalonians, and then he writes to them, and he says in 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 1 to 8. He says, "Finally, brothers, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God, as we have taught you." So they were taught. Okay? "You lived this way already, and we encouraging you to do so even more." And I think this thing comes out so many times. Do this more. Do this more. Increase in this. And so they were living for the Lord. There was a change. And he's encouraging them to do so even more. "For you remember what we taught you by the authority of Jesus Christ. God's will is for you to be holy." Another translation says, "It's the will of God. This is the will of God, your sanctification." If you're asking, what is the Lord's will for your life? You know, should I do this? Should I do that? The Lord's will is that you be sanctified, that you be holy. You know, we quickly come to the Lord and say, "Lord, you know, what's your will for my life? You know, am I going to do, what job must I take? What, you know, what must I do? You know, who's my wife? Who's my husband?" You know, all these things. But this is the will of God for you, that you be holy, that you be sanctified. And so it says, "So stay away from all sexual sin. Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion like the pagans who do not know God and his ways." And so it says that each of you will control his own body. And actually, body means, and one of the references is wife. You learn how to actually take a wife, actually. In that time, you took a wife, but there's a way that you could do it. There's a way that you could do it, and it says to live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion like the pagans. And so there was a taking but it wasn't honoring of God. There's a way of God. There's a way that's honorable. The way that I relate to Kegwin needs to be, my wife needs to be honorable. I don't, just even in our intimate relation, I can't just want her for that. There's a ways of God. As I love her, as I care for her, as I show her, I'm showing who God is in how I care for her. And so never harm or cheat a fellow believer in this manner by violating his wife. For the Lord avenges such sins, as we have solemnly warned you. Okay, and remember, he's talking to believers here. He's talking to people that have, they've given their heart to the Lord, and there's been massive change in their life. And he says, the Lord avenges such sins as we've warned you before. It's, we need to hear the warnings of the Lord. God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives. Therefore, anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying human teaching, but is rejecting God, who gives us his Holy Spirit. And if you know the presence of the Holy Spirit, if you know that the Lord has given you the Holy Spirit, there's nothing more precious than being led by the Spirit, than knowing the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. And he goes on, he says, but we do not need to write to you about the importance of loving one another. Okay, sure. Okay, is there a difference here? Is there, have we lost, have we still got the same train of thinking? It is the same train of thinking. It says, but we need not to write you about the importance of loving one another, for because we talked about this is love. How I treat my wife, how I treat women, how you as a lady treats men, actually that reflects Christ. And it says, I'm just grab my scripture. What verse am I on there? Anyone can help me there. I think of. Okay, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Yeah, verse 8. So he gives you the Holy Spirit. And then verse 9, it talks about the importance of loving one another. For God himself has taught you to love one another. Indeed, you already show your love for all the believers through Macedonia. Even so, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you to love them even more. Yes, that word again, even more. And so this is about love. Actually, holiness is about love. Actually, there's a reflection of Christ in how we love. If you want to know what is holiness, it's how we reflect true love. And it says, and so what he's saying is that we live in a way that pleases the Lord, that they were taught and they are living in, and you are encouraged to do more and more. And so there's this, if we're living in, and I want to give you 2 points that are crucial in this, living in holiness by pleasing him before we please ourselves. As we, in our relationships, please the Lord and look to the Lord, he is honored. There's a holiness. What did the Lord say in Matthew 22, verse 37? And I want to wrap it around this, these two things over here. What is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. Coming back to goal, what is that? To please the Lord. We love him with every part of us. And so even in that moment when we are tempted, when I was tempted, there was a decision to say, I want to please the Lord. I want to please him first because he is my desire. And so Matthew 22, verse 37 says, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so the second point is living in holiness. There's an increase and abounding in love for one another and all. This came through all those scriptures, is about our love for one another. Actually, that needs to abound. It needs to go some more. So we think we love to a certain degree, but we've got to actually increase in that. Because why? We're representing God. There's something of his image that we are reflecting in that. Something of his holiness. We call to be holy like him. And so there's this aspect of as we love, we reflect his holiness. Isn't it, who's ever had a difficulty when someone's offended them? Put up your hands high so you can all see. Okay, who hasn't had that? Anyone never been offended by anyone? Okay, we've all been offended, eh? We've all been offended. And it's how do we love? How do we love in that place? How do we represent Christ in that place? We forgive him. Thanks. You know, I don't know if I should share the story, but my wife is cringing over there. Anyway, I had a family. He was in the church, a good friend. We were part of each other's lives, and he was in the church, and then he basically hit on my wife, and then I had to deal with my heart. I had to how am I going to deal with this? Because now I'm offended at this, and I had to go to him and lovingly talk it through. Anybody done that? and he wasn't a small guy. He was probably bigger than me, and he was known to throw a fist every now and then. And actually, there was an incident where there was something that happened. Talking about throwing fists. So I had to sit down, and we had to have a chat. And he repented. And he turned, and he had a dynamic, just prophetic edge to him. The Lord used him powerfully. But there was something just in that God had to refine in him and refine in me, actually. Because I had to love. I had to dig deep and actually love and come to a point. And we spoke and we broke bread afterwards. And we found each other. And there was repentance. And there's a turning away. And the Lord used him. And he's not with us anymore. He's passed. And what happens if I just left it? If there would be broken relations. There wouldn't be a holiness that would honor the Lord in that. And 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 10 to 13, it says, and this is before that verse that we read in 1 Thessalonians 4. It says, night and day praying, I think I've cut out, yeah, night and day praying beyond all measure that we may see you face to face and complete what is lacking in your faith. So Paul had been pushed out of the town, okay, because of his preaching. He was only there a short while, and he'd been wanting to get back there, but there was a lot of resistance from the unbelievers and that. And so But there was a connection of heart with those that had come to know the Lord over there. And so he said, now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. So he's saying basically, I'm hoping the Lord's going to direct us back to you guys and we're going to be able to see you. And may the Lord cause you to increase. Okay. A light should be going on as we're talking about this increase, this thing that we need to be doing more and more. And it says that the Lord may cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all. Just as also we do for you. So there's this abounding love for one another that's happening. And then this is an interesting statement that he says over here, so that your hearts may be established blameless in holiness. So that your hearts may be established blameless in holiness. How we relate to each other has to be honoring of the Lord. Because the Lord wants to bring about purity in our lives. He wants to bring about a holiness in our lives that represent him. And so as we allow him to do the increase, he causes that increase. But there's an allowing and an abounding in us for love for one another, it says. So that our hearts may be established blameless in holiness. And so holiness needs to be part of our relationships. It's an aspect of actually what, as we live for God, there's this, I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, so that my decisions, I'm going to walk out holy. I'm going to love my neighbor as myself, so that in my relationships, I'm going to honor the Lord. That there's going to be a holiness with regards to how I relate and how I deal with conflict. You know, if we say, like, how do we know that we've actually dealt with conflict with someone? We know that we've dealt with conflict when we don't speak about it to anyone else. We know when we've dealt with it when we're able to break bread with them and there's nothing in our heart. Then we're walking in that place of holiness. Then we're walking and honoring the Lord. That's walking in love and holiness towards each other. And so this is the identity that God's got for you. This is what he's calling, not me only. He's calling you. He's calling every one of us to walk in holiness. In our relationships. Our relationships to him and our relationships to each other. Holiness is practical. Isn't that practical? There's a practical working, outworking of our relationship to the Lord. And I'm bringing it to an end. Because this is our us and our identity in Christ. That's what he's called you to. I had another quote, Jonathan Edwards. So I'm pulling up some old guys over here from probably 200-300 years ago, whatever it is. It says, as God delights in his beauty, okay, so as God delights in his beauty, he must necessarily delight in the creature's holiness, in other words, us, which is a conformity to and participation of it. There's as we are walking in holiness, there's something of Christ in that. And he says in that, I the English is quite hard on this. So, as God delights in His own beauty, He must necessarily delight in the creature, in other words, our holiness, which is a conformity to and participation in Him, in His holiness, as truly as brightness of a jewel held in the sun's beam. We talked, Philip talked about as you take a diamond and you put it into the sun, you see something of a reflection. So he's saying, Jonathan Edwards is saying, as the Lord delight, as the radiance of the sun is just minuscule. I mean, as the diamond is minuscule compared to the glory of the sun. If you consider the sun and the greatness as just a small aspect, so we are. We can reflect something of God that God actually delights in. He finds pleasure in us showing an aspect of Him, showing who He is in how we relate to each other, how we love each other, how we forgive each other, how we're able to break bread with each other because there's nothing in our hearts towards each other. We're going to break bread now. But I want to ask, you know, maybe we can close our eyes. Maybe for you tonight, you haven't known the Lord. You've maybe known Him as, someone, or you've been going to church but not known the Lord and actually not recognized that I actually need to, He's calling me to reflect something of Him, and He's calling me to Himself, and that's what the Lord wants. There was that seal that talked about, and He's actually sealed us and called us His by putting His Holy Spirit in us. But we need to respond to Him. There needs to be a response that comes from our hearts to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be with You. I want to walk in Your ways. I want to allow You to come and shape me so that I represent something of You. And if you've not done that, tonight can be that night, that you can give your life to the Lord fully and allow Him to do that change. And maybe this is actually one of the most important things to do in your life. Even who you marry fades in insignificance compared to allowing the Lord to come into your life and change you. And so, if that's you, I want to encourage you that you put up your hand and say, Lord, I need You now. More than anything else, that I need You now. Is there anyone that wants to lift their hand and just say, Lord, I need You in my life tonight? Maybe just indicate to me. Everyone's got their eyes closed. Just sort of indicate to me as I look across. Is there anyone? Don't walk out of here, because our life is short. As I said, you know, there's some that are older, that are nearer the finish line. But we can live this life with the goal of pleasing Him, live our lives for Him. And He's calling us to an adventure with Him. It's not going to be easy, but it's an adventure that changes you. I don't want to prolong it. If that's you, mate, just indicate to me now. That'll be great. Okay. Thank you. Anybody else? That's wonderful. We're going to break bread now, but what I would like to do is, you know what, this walk that we walk with the Lord, as I said, is one of holiness. As we reflect something of Him, we see the beauty of Jesus. I want you to, if you can, get up and maybe go into small groups, and I'd like you to just take, if you don't know the scripture, I want to encourage you to just write this down, and and Luke 22, verse 19 to 20, and 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 to 26, talks about communion. And it's a serious thing, communion. It's a very serious thing. So because the Bible actually says that if you do this and there's issues in your heart towards someone else, you bring judgment on yourself, which is a serious thing. And so the Lord's calling us to holiness, and he's provided us for us to walk in a way that honors him. And this is one way that we remember Christ. And so I want to ask, as those who are keen to break bread, those who are keen to sort things out, to go to the person, if there's someone here that you need to talk to, go to them before and break bread with them. There's the scripture. Take the scripture and read it to each other. Allow the Lord to do something in you tonight that allows you to reflect him more, that allows you to show something of his character, of who God is. Amen. Amen. I'm going to close, and then we're going to make our way and break bread together. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are a holy God. And Lord, even as we looked at the scriptures and we saw, Lord, you are encouraging us, Lord, to love and do it more, to love you with all our heart, Lord, to love each other to such a degree that, Lord, we actually reflect you and we reflect who you are. We reflect your beauty, Lord. We reflect, Lord, your goodness, Lord. And Lord, we want to be those people that are those that please you, those that live for you, those that, Lord, are just surrounded with, Lord, and you, we've got your, and we're moving in what your Spirit is calling us to do. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that's with us, Lord. Thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit that leads us into truth. And Lord, even as we break bread together, I pray, Lord, that there be something of an aroma to you this evening, God. As we, Lord, come to you, as we present our hearts to you, Lord, as we allow you to work in our hearts so that we can be more like you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's...